Rabbi Eliezer Schwalbe.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I had the occasion to speak a few weeks ago with Rosh Chodesh Av in Yerushalayim, and the topic was when to talk in Megillas Esther. So it was a bit of a catchphrase, because of course we know you can't talk in Megillas Esther. But the idea was that the Megillah teaches us when to talk and when not to talk, generally. And to introduce it, it's a bit loud, no? Yeah. So to introduce it, there's a famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Megillah, which is based Halacha Yud Ches, and the Rambam says, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim V'chol HaKesuvim Asidim Libotel. All the Neviim, all the Kesuvim, which largely talk about the Geula, Hasida, is largely Nevuahs, which are Tzricha L'Doyrois, which is needed throughout the Golos. All those Nevi'im will come a time when they'll be redundant. We won't need them anymore. Asidim Libotel, Limois HaMashiach. And these will be in the days of the Mashiach. Chutz, except from one. And that is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is going to always remain. And the Megillas Esther will remain as a main sefer for us, just like the Chumash. And like the Gemara we have, the Shas we have, they'll never, ever be redundant. It'll always be necessary. The Chumash, as we know, is eternal. Megillas Esther is on the same level. She'einon betelim lo'ilom. That the Chumash, the Shas, is never going to be bottled, so likewise Megillas Esther is not going to be bottled. So the Ravid already asked the Kasha, what do you mean? The Nevi'im and Kesuvim, you think we're going to relegate them to the Shemus box? What's he talking about here? So the Ravid says, no, there are Limudim we learn from all Tanakh. All Tanakh, you've got Pesukim, the Gemara brings Pesukim all over, Divrei Kabbalah, we learn Halachas from the whole of Shas. So he says, Elamai, it's not going to be so necessary. So the Lech HaMishneh, in fact, he explains it in more detail. And he explains that the Ravid learned, the Lech HaMishneh, he says, that the Ravid learned that all the Nevi'im will be bottled Lagamri, according to the Rambam, that we're not going to need the Nevi'im and Kesuvim at all. And the Ravid says, that can't be, because we do learn Limudim from them. So, Ela, what's Peshat? In the Rambam. So the Ravid explains, according to the Lech HaMishneh, that when we say that the Nevi'im and Kesuvim are going to be bottled, it means that Einom Koirim Behem B'chol Sha'ah. We don't need to refer to them constantly. Right? Masha Ein came with Megillas Esther, Koirim Tomid, but Megillas Esther we read constantly. Now, Megillas Esther we read once a year, right? But what it means is like this. The Chumash, as we know, we go through the whole Torah once a year. We constantly learn from the Chumash. So there's a lesson, therefore, in the Megillah, which is what we've got to learn from constantly. Now, what is that lesson so special about the Megillah, which is not just for Purim time, it's not just a Purim Torah, but it's something which we've got to use constantly. So the fundamental point is the Torah is coming to be Madrichis, it's coming to teach us how to live our lives. And the Yesod is what a person, his main Madrega, as the Pasuk says in the beginning of Bereshis, Vatehi Adam LeNefesh Chaya, Kosh Baruch Hu created man, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, he blew into us this divine spirit, and says the Targum Vayehi LeRuach Mamalala, that a person has the power to talk. And talking is what really revolves around our daily activity, communication, talking, interactive with people. And the Chofetz Chaim was Mechadesh, that he says the Yesod of Dibur is over and above everything else. And that's why, you know, he was Mechadesh, we've got to concentrate on what to speak, what is permitted to speak, what's not permitted to speak. And in fact, it's a Beferish, a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Peites, Omer of Yitzchak, What's beshain the pasuk that is it truthful to be silent, speak righteousness? The Gemara explains the word umnum is not just truthful, but it's loshen umnos, a profession. What is your profession in life? Ma umnosoi shalodon boilam azeh, yosim atzmoi ki'ilem. His profession is he always ought to keep silent. Now, a profession needs training. Any activity where you learn a job, it needs training. Whether it's in a university for a few years, or whether it's in a trades apprenticeship, it takes a few years. So an umnus needs training, and the umnus, the Gemara says, his first thing is, keep quiet. It takes a lot of restraint, that. Then the Gemara says, yochel adivrei Torah kein, you may think for good things you have to be quiet. No, stamud loimeth tzedek tadabeirun, when it comes to good things, speak good things. In other words, praise your wife, praise people, wish people a good morning, a good afternoon. Be nice to people, right? Sedek to dabeir, and speak nice things. But if you want to get angry and tell people off, be very careful. You want to speak loshen hara, keep shtum. Right? Certain things keep quiet, certain things speak. So back to the topic, when to talk in Megillah Sasta. So there are occasions in the Megillah where you see people spoke, and there are occasions when you see people didn't speak. Now the obvious one, first of all, we know in the Megillah there's a Yesod of Ves Mama Mordechai Esther Oisa, the word of Mordechai Esther kept. And where do we see this most apparently? Is at the beginning, when Esther is taken, she's kidnapped, she's taken to Achashverosh, and what does she do? She keeps quiet. Ein Esther Magedes Es Moladetov Es Amo, that she doesn't say who she was at all. Kashat Sivo Eleo Mordechai, like Mordechai explained that she should keep quiet. Now Rashi says, he says, Lo yegida Esther Es Amo Ves Moladeto, ki Mordechai Tzivo Eleo Shon Lo Yisagit, es kidei shiyoimu shihimi mishpocha bezuya. Esther had to keep quiet, not to reveal where she comes from, who her nation is, who her background is, because he wanted to plant the idea that maybe she's got something to hide. She's from a mishpocha mezuya, v'yeshalchua, and therefore he'll send her away. The Malbim adds on, and the Malbim says that the king would never want the papers to write that asufi lokach minashuk, that he took in a foundling, a mamzeres from the street, you know, someone who's been cast aside for good reason. He doesn't want to take someone like that and make her the queen, right? So therefore, she kept quiet. And that's what we're told, Ein Esther Magedes Moiladetov Esamo Kashet Sivo Aleo Mordechai. Mordechai had to impress upon her how much she has to be quiet. So we take that as read, okay, she was quiet. She doesn't know. I mean, how is she supposed to know? She never had a birth certificate. Didn't have a passport. Where are you from? I don't know. People come onto the borders nowadays. They're from Syria. How old are you? I don't know. Where are you from? From Syria. Prove it. So they say, I haven't got a passport. Really, they've just come over the road from Turkey, right? And they want a better job in Germany. But if they say they came from some place, a refugee, she's a refugee. She came from Eretz Yisrael. You can't say she comes from Eretz Yisrael. She was just found. She doesn't know. Now, so it seems quite simple and easy thing to do for a woman to keep quiet. Right? But it's not so straightforward. I'll tell you why it's not so straightforward. Not just because people can't speak. I mean, we know Noshim Dabroni Oisheim. And it says, Asora Kabim Sicha Yod Alaylam. 10 portions of speech came to the world. Va'atisha Notla Noshim. And women took 9 portions. So the Maral there explains, because to speak, to prattle, to talk, it shows that you're on a lower intellectual level. Not that he's implying women are on lower intellectual levels, but he says you find there's a concept of Moshav Leitzim, that people who they sit in the park and they yachni all day, talk all day. What do they talk about? Nothing. Mamish, nothing. Football, nothing. Talk about Brexit, Gornish. What do they talk about? It's all nothing. Right? So the papers, they publish a paper every day, the same number of pages. What have they got to report already? Nothing, they make up news, right? Talking and speaking like that is not necessarily a sign of intelligence, right? So, but we've got to understand further. Esther comes to a king. And she tells the king, says, where are you from? And she says, sorry, your highness, I don't know. What's your background? Sorry, I've no idea. Now, to us, okay, it's plausible. Someone doesn't know. Zvesnish doesn't know. But you've got to understand that in Malchus, it doesn't work like that. A king, if he's a despot, which Achashverosh certainly was, and he rules over the whole world, then he doesn't take no for an answer. And the proof is, if you have a look in Perbase of Daniel, Perbase of Daniel, it tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, who was Vashti's Zeda, right? So it was Achashverosh's Elter Shva. He had a dream, and as we know from Rashi and Chumash in Miketz, when Paroi had a dream, it says Vatipoi Muchai. Paroi just didn't know the explanation to the dream. But it says with Nebuchadnezzar, Vatispoi Muchai, a double lotion of that he was disturbed, because he knew the dream meant something, but he couldn't remember the dream, and he didn't know the interpretation of the dream. So it was in double annoyance. And what did he do? He calls all the Chachomim, the Kastim, all the people there, all the Chachomim. He has a big gathering in the morning, and he tells them, he says, I had a dream, and I'm very worried about this dream. So please, can someone interpret the dream? So then, you know, they don't want to speak, because they can't say an answer. And they say, well, Your Highness, please tell us the dream, and we'll attempt to answer the dream. And he says, well, I'm very afraid I can't tell you the dream because I've forgotten the dream. But if you knew how to interpret dreams, you could interpret a dream which I didn't even need to tell you what it was in the first place. In other words, you use your hocus pocus, your magic, and you find out from the devils or whatever you do, and tell me what the pshat is in the dream. So they said, listen, it's not been asked from any man on earth to explain a dream without telling him what the dream was. So he said to them, he says, if you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to rip you all from limb to limb. I'm going to torture you all to death. And after you're all gone, I'm going to destroy your houses, and the houses would turn into dung heaps. Right? You're going to make a basic kiss out of all your houses. So they were trying to attempt to answer it, but of course no one could say a thing. And it goes on again. And he said, listen, I've told you once, I don't take no for an answer. We have ways and means of making you talk. And if you're not going to tell me the interpretation of the dream, I'm going to kill the lot of you. And he gives a command, and Kol Chachmei Bavel are going to be killed. Anyway, amongst the Chachomim was Daniel and his Chaverim, right, Hanani, Mishael, Azaria, and they were arrested. And they said, what's going on? You know, they hadn't read the papers. They didn't know what the king had said. So they asked the officer who was arresting them, he says, can you explain it, please? You know, what have we done wrong? So he says, well, haven't you heard? The king said, if you don't explain his dream, we're going to kill the lot of you. And you're registered as a chacham, so I'm very sorry, but it's good night, right? That's the end. So Daniel said, please, you know, he answered b'chochma. He said, look, please tell the king that we will attempt to answer his dream, but please give us a stay of execution, right? The ones you killed so far, just put an end to it, and give us the opportunity at least. So he goes back home, and he's mispalel, and with the Hanani Mishael Azariah, they were davening. Then at night time, he had a nevuah of what the dream was, and he came and told Nebuchadnezzar the dream. But what do you see from all this? The king doesn't take no for an answer. If you say you don't know where you come from, it can apply pressure until you come out. So it was a very risky strategy now, what Mordechai did. And had precedent. If you don't answer, chop them from limb to limb, and then burn the houses down. And here, he says, don't say a word. Now, the implication is from Rashi, it was in order for Esther to come back home safely. But then he says, no, don't say a word. There's a sakonus nefashas here. He may kill you as a result of it. He may torture you to death till he finds out. And you know one thing from Achashverosh, if you read the beginning of the Megillah. The first thing we're told is he's having a lovely time. He's having a party. 180 days, another 7 days. And then what does he do? He calls Vashti in. Vashti doesn't come. So he says that he gets very, very angry. He's like going raging mad. So we see from this guy, he's a schizophrenic. One minute he's humpty dumpty, he's all happy. And the next minute, he's going to murder his wife. And the Gemara says he's an illogical fellow because he kills his wife because of his advisor. And then a minute later he kills his advisor because of his wife. Right? The guy's a ramish, a bipolar. You can't trust this fellow. He's an absolute lunatic. And then to reason with him, to have a svara that won't say because maybe he'll be afraid of what the papers talk about him. And they'll say, Asufi min ashok. And therefore you're best off keeping quiet. Now, if we're right about Achashverosh, He's not afraid of anyone because he knows the papers are not going to say anything about Asufi min Ashok. They know if they raise one word against the king, like all the despots do, first thing is they send a bit of novichok round and get rid of them. Right? This is how it works. Here you go, Mishugina. He doesn't care. Nuclear weapons, whatever, chemical weapons, what are you going to do? You're going to fight against Russia? No one can touch him. So he can do what he wants. I think they just opened up Salisbury now after a year. It's cost the country billions, you know, to try and clean the place up. He doesn't care one bit. A bit of novichok, end of everything, finished, garnished. So it was a very risky strategy and is with an illogical person. So why did Taka Mordechai say keep shtum? Because the halacha is, like Tosfos says, you can only, you've got a chiyuv, b'moisa nefesh, for arayos. It's not so simple. Only if it's karka olam, there are ways where it's beyond your control. So what are you supposed to do, right? But other than that, you've got to do everything possible. He had to do everything according to halacha in order to try and get Esther out of the Beis HaMalchus with this big shaykes, Achashverosh. That's what he had to do, so he attempted everything, even though it was very risky. So you see, there are sometimes the Torah, the halacha dictates, keep quiet. Whatever is going to happen, you have to keep the halacha. And therefore, if you can do your ishtadlus to the maximum to save her, me based on malchus, that's what you've got to do. So that's one side where you see where you should talk. You should not talk. But then we have another feature in the Megillah, just the opposite, where someone did talk when a logic dictates that he shouldn't have spoken. And who is that? That's Mordechai. Anyway, you have with Mordechai, it says, he listens to the plot of Bigson Vesaresh. Vayevoda hadova le Mordechai, vayage le Esther hamalka, vatoyme Esther la melech b'shem Mordechai. So what's happened? Esther's now been kidnapped. She's taken to the thing. Poor Mordechai, he's aghast, he's terribly depressed. They've kidnapped his wife, and there's no way of getting her back because the king loves her, right? What are you going to do? And then he hears Gevaldika plot. And he's sitting by himself, behaving himself. He's been davening all day, saying Tehillim all day. And then he hears, pricks up his ear, and he can hear some Torsi being spoken. Right? These two big messages came from a place called Torsi. So he's listening in, and then he hears, Taka, they've got a plot to kill the king. So what should he do? Now, my impression is he should keep quiet. He's used to telling people to keep quiet. He should practice what he preaches. Keep quiet. Just relax. Go back to your Tehillim, Mordechai. Keep shtum. And you're reading the papers in the morning. King died, slumped over his bowl of whatever, of wine, whatever he was drinking, or his soup. Soup was poisoned. And then what happens? He'll skittle Esther out through the back door in the commotion at the time of the funeral, and they're off, scot-free, a lady. Now, you know what's this kasha? The Monis HaLevi. The Monis HaLevi has got a whole mahalach on this. Why didn't Mordechai open his mouth? And more than that, we say, he did the right thing. Because Esther said it over, b'shem Mordechai, and that's maybe geula la'olam, and everything happens because of this. And if it wouldn't be for her saying, oh, b'shem Mordechai, the story would have been different. The king, when he wakes up, he wouldn't be written down in the Sefer Zichronos, everything. The time when things change for the better, he wouldn't have even got a mention. He wouldn't have even been there. But it's only because he spoke. So the kash is, why did he speak? Says the Monis HaLevi. He brings down from a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Says, Vayevod Adov Le Mordechai. And Pei Lamentas. So the Medrash says like this, Zeh Mohul, Vezeh Orel. Zeh Mohul, this one is a Yiddishi. Vezeh Orel, and this is a Goyishki. You know, Mordechai is a Yid. Achashverosh is a Goy. And we know there's a din, Lo Yisamoid Adam Reyecho. You're not allowed to stand by when a brother of yours, a Yid, is in Sakona. But if a Goy is in Sakona, then it's a different parsha. So the Mishnah says, The Medrash says, Zeh Mohul, Mordechai is a Yid. V'zeh Orel, and he's a Goy. V'chos Olov Esmoheh, and he has Rachmanus on him to save his life. He had every reason not to have Rachmanus on him. In fact, it's one of Sheva Mitzvahs. A person who's a Gazlan, Like we know the Meshech Chachma says with Shechem, why were they all Chayav Misa? Because they kidnapped Dina. So they're all Chayav Misa. So if anything, he should be quiet. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, there's two answers here. Rabbi Yehuda says, why did he speak? It's because he learned from a precedent. It says in the Pasuk, Mizakeinim Esboinon, I learn from the elders, Ki Pikudecha Notzati, because I keep your mitzvahs. So Omar and Mordechai said to himself, let's see a precedent, what the others did, what the previous generations did, to know what way to go. And this is a Torah way, as it says in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im Loi Seidi Loch Hayofa Banoshim, Si'i Loch Big Ve'atzoin. If you don't know which direction to take, go in the footsteps of your sheep before you. Go and see what the Free of the Kedoyis did, the previous generations. See how they acted, and you copy their ways. See what they did before. So he said, Yaakov Birech Paroi. Yaakov gave a blessing to Paroi. Now he didn't need to. He comes to meet Paroi, and well, they could talk about anything. Isn't it a lovely day today? Talk about the weather. Talk about the horses. Have a good day. So nice to meet you. You know, good day. Fine. But Yaakov went out of his way, and he gave a bracha to Paroi. Now that shows that he had an interest in Shalom Malchus and the Shalom of the Melech. That he should have a blessing, he should be well, and with the weather, the Nile went up towards him, he was certainly did very well out of this bracha. So Yaakov Berch is Paroi, Shunemar Bevaruch Yaakov is Paroi. Yosef Gileloi, Yosef also, Yosef is taken out of prison. Now Yosef was a clever guy, he could have said to Paroi, oh, you've had a dream, and you've heard I can answer dreams. He says, that's true. But this particular dream is a very hard dream. You know, I have to consult my father. He's just up the road. I'll go, it'll take me about 2 weeks. I'll go and ask Yaakov, my father, what the interpretation of the dream. I'll be right back and I'll tell you the dream and everything will be wonderful. You know, Yosef could have used his seichel to get out of Mitzrayim that way. Once he's out, toodaloo, that's it. Zuchme, you know, go after me afterwards, right? There was no, I don't think there was any way of getting prisoners out from a different country in the old days, you know. Right? So once he's escaped. But no, Yosef knew the answer. And he thought, no, Shalom Malchus, I'm going to tell him exactly what to do. So it shows you he was considering the benefit of the king. Doniel Gilel and Nebuchadnezzar. And likewise, Doniel did the same thing for Nebuchadnezzar with the dream, as we said before. They could have arose some other way. He could have got out of it, maybe, perhaps. Or he could have told them the dream and the wrong interpretation. But because the Nebuchadnezzar said, if anyone tells me the dream, then I know his interpretation is correct. So Doniel could have told him the dream and given some any mishigas afterwards, you know, any old hodgepodge to get away. But no, Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, such a Rasha, Chub Beis HaMikdash. And nevertheless, Doniel said, no, have a mispalel b'shlo mishal malchus. We've got a duty for the welfare of the king, so Doniel Gileloi. Says Mordechai af ani kain. So I'm going to do the same as what they did, v'yagei l'Esther malkam. That's one peshat. Then Rav Nechemiah Omar, similarly, the Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, v'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama. The nations of the world will bless you. Right? Or you'll be blessed from the nations, from all the nations of the world. That you'll have something unique which the other nations don't have. So what is the uniqueness of Zaracha and in your children? So in Tema, if you say Dilhunatirim, that all the Yidden are wealthy. If you say the Yidden are wealthy, it can't be, because Hariatirin Inun Minan, you see there's more wealthy Goyim than Yidden. I mean, by and large, Baruch Hashem, we're above average, right? But there are plenty, plenty wealthy Goyim. You know, Bill Gates and the other fellow, anyway, you know the names, right? There's wealthy people in the world, and they're not Jewish. Right? Can you imagine? Every mishulach will be around the door if they would be, right? But they're not. I mean, some of them do a bit of charity in what they understand as charity, but the maisa, it can't be just in wealth that we're blessed. Ela l'sha'ela. Peshat is v'nivuchu v'cha l'sha'ela, that we've got more chachma than the goyim. I'll prove it to you. Our Prime Minister, what's her name? Theresa Mayhem. She, or Teresa the appeaser, whatever they call her. So this woman, she hasn't got a clue what she's doing. It's blatantly obvious. What she should do is pick up the phone or go to Bnei Brak and frag by Reb Chaim and ask her, what's all the time? Should we leave? Should we stay? What's all the time? And Reb Chaim, in an instant, he'll tell the answer in a second, right? And then she'll know exactly with a clock, exactly what the best way for the whole Medina to do. But she hasn't got the brains, the she'ela, to ask us, right? I mean, you can see that everything is min ha-shamayim, what's going on. You can see she's not a risk taker. She's a very cautious person. And we always say that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? If you've got a majority, don't waste it on a sofek. Ain't sofek mochi midei vadai. And what does she do? The first thing when she comes to the Prime Minister, she decides to have a snap election to try and get a bigger majority. And then she lost everything, right? And she relies on a few Irish chevrot in Northern Ireland. So you can see everything is min ha-shamayim, how things transpire. But the fact is, the she'ela, the goyim, sometimes they haven't got a clue what they're doing. And if they would ask a bit of das toyer, they'll get the answer straight away. So normally, if they encounter difficulty, they will come and ask us what to do, ask our advice. And in order to show that we've got chokhmah, we've got to reveal it to them. So Rav Nechemya said that Mordechai was in a quandary here. What do I do? Do I keep quiet for my own personal benefit? Or do I go in the precedent and we've got to worry about Shalom Malchus? So he says, no, the precedent dictates. I've got to tell them. And the she'ela, even if they don't know how to ask, I'll reveal it to them for the benefit of Shalom Malchus. So that's it. So you see, sometimes the Torah says, Sedek Tedabelem, the right thing is to speak. Sometimes it's not to speak, sometimes it is to speak. There's another aspect of speaking, which even when you do speak, and you're speaking for the right thing, it's how you say the words as well. We all know the Ramban, the famous Ramban. He writes a letter to his son, and he says, Shema b'ni Musa avicha, he says, Tisnaeg ledabe kol dovarecho benachas b'chol odom choleis. Always speak softly to people. Don't get excited. It's bad for your blood pressure, it's bad for the sugar, it's bad for everything. Don't get excited, speak calmly. And you'll get more success in life if you speak calmly to people. You've got an irate customer, don't slang them off and don't blag them off. Just speak, I'm very sorry, be contrite, you know, we'll do everything possible. The next order will be 100% okay. You know, you tell them something to placate them and they're happy and you're happy and a lady. In fact, you get all aufgeregt. Don't get angry. Never get angry and never speak bekas. And it's not only in general speech, but even when you're doing a mitzvah and there's a very strong reason to be forceful with that mitzvah, you've still got to say it quietly. And this is the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Daled. The Gemara tells us, Shelo yishud dovorim soich adam lo yimaseich beis erev Shabbos, im chasheicha. Three things you've got a mitzvah to say at home before Shabbos. To prevent chilul Shabbos, what are these? Isatem, Eirabtem, Adliku Esaneh. Isatem, you can't say Mass on Shabbos, Tikkun Oichlim, so you've got to do it before Shabbos. So tell the family, Isatem, have you taken Maisa yet? Eirabtem, you can't make an Erev on Shabbos, so do it before Shabbos. And Adliku Esaneh, if it's too late, you can't light Shabbos Lich, so tell them in good time, so light early. It's better to light a bit early than too late. Now, can you imagine, a person comes home from work, he's very busy and he's got about, you know, been to the mikvah or whatever, and if he goes to the mikvah, and 5 minutes he's got till Shabbos, and he comes home, and he knows the halacha, so he shouts, Shabbos, Shabbos, Chil Shabbos, what could be better? And the Chachamim say like this, no. Says the Gemara. Even though he has to say it, says Rabbi Barak Huna, you have to say it in a soft way. In order for the household to listen to you. Now, if you ask anyone, if you want your will to be listened to, you raise the tone of your voice. Right? Teachers do it. If you want a child to listen, you shout, you raise your voice. And you think that you're listening and that you're getting somewhere with it. Says the Gemara, Nishtazai. They only listen to you temporarily because you're meshugah now and they're worried because sakonas nefashos, so they're going to do what you say. But as soon as you're out of the door, they don't give a monkeys. Whereas if you speak benichusa and you say, please, please, light now, it's Baal Shabbos, please, please, Haliku Esaneh, it's nearly Shabbos, let's light already, please. And you say it softly. Even something so special as Shabbos, you've got to say benichusa. So even when it comes to a mitzvah, say benichusa. So the Maisa, there we see rayas from the Megillah, when to speak, when not to speak, and when we do speak, we've got to say it softly. But there's another thing the Gemara said, sedek tedaberun. You've got to know also what topic to speak about. That sedek tedaberun, it's always good to speak good things. So there's a very famous Rabbeinu Yonah in Shah Shlishi. Because from the Gemara says anything you speak is softly. In other words, there's always a soft approach. Yeah, well, we learn from the beginning when to speak, when not to speak, and the premise of whenever to speak. The Ramban says always speak kol d'vayecha b'nachas. Once you know what to say, even when you have to say it calmly. Which is Mordechai when he came to Esther, he was panicking. He said, "They're going to kill the king." He says, "Please tell the king there's a plot." And then the Yevodah Adov, they investigated, and they had the CID involved, and the Taka found out it wasn't as his mishmar, and then they arrested him. But it's not got to be done with excitement. It can't be done with fanfare. Otherwise, they'll see there's a raving lunatic outside. He's banging on the gates of the palace. Will you just arrest him? You know, in order to get somewhere, you have to use seichel. You have to speak calmly. You don't get anywhere by aggressiveness. It's not directly limud, but once you know how to speak, you can apply it in all circumstances. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Ki hine adova yodua, ki midar ke kiddush Hashem." We know the whole episode of Esther, the one thing of kiddush Hashem. And she made a big kiddush Hashem, and the shadow was, why is she not Moshe Nefesh? You know, but the idea is they elevated avodas Hashem. And that's why we say, Hoda kiblu b'me'ach HaShveirish. There was a revival of Yiddishkeit in the times of Esther, more so than whatever happened before. He says the Rabbeinu Yonah, that in the ways of Kiddush Hashem, lohoidia b'chol miftas afasayim uv'chol asher yu moizu neinayim, that in every expression of the lips, and every indication of the eyes, over chol han hogo poil yadam, and in all your activities, ki yesoy lenefesh ha'odu musvi ed yoy v'atoy v'ayik v'atoyelet v'ayok asher boy, avodis Hashem yisbach v'yirosay, ki zeh kol ha'odam. He says, the main thing is, we're going to see, is to praise Chachomim. Then he carries on. Ola ha'idia, ki avodosoy levado ikah hanimsa. To try and say and explain to people that the main purpose in life is avodis Hashem. In all your ways, in all your speech, in all your activity, you've got to indicate by your actions speak louder than words in a way, you've got to be mekadesh shem shemaim. And that is lehoidoi sloi, and to thank him, and constantly thank the Rebbeinu Shalom. Shenema avarecho es Hashem b'choleis, tomid t'ilosu b'fi. I bless Hashem at all times, and constantly his praise is in my mouth. And then he says, v'chashe yisyatze b'soicha om v'idabim chaverev. When you're mixing with people, yispoinem bino v'idakde v'yashkech b'chol moise sevosov. Be very careful and calculate with the words which come out of your lips. Lekadei ses Hashem b'dvorov. That your words should all be with the one focus, lekadei ses Hashem. And how do you do this? Or ledaber b'shevach avoidosoy, or sihilas yirosoy, or l'shabech avodo v'yireyov. To constantly praise mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, and also to praise the avodim av Hashem, to praise Frumah Yidden, to praise Tamidei Chachomim, to praise your rabbis and school and everything. V'yizke b'zah. And if you do this, and you praise the right things, you'll be zoicha. Behegyon liboy, with the thoughts of your heart, or mifta sefasov, when it comes out on your lips, beloy yegia upoyel kapayim, without any work and without any effort, zuchus gedoyla adla shemayim, that you get a merit up to heaven. He says, "Benochem over yizke bezer behegyon liboy or mifta sefasov, beloy yegia upoyel kapayim, zuchus gedoyla adla shemayim." Because that is the reason why man has been created. So if you want to know, what do we learn from Megillah, which is a constant lesson, says the Ravid? The more so than all Shanavim Ukasuvim, there's something to know when to speak and when not to speak. And when you do speak, it should be tzedek to dabeirun. And then you'll be zoicha, because that's why we've been created. And that should be a limud from the Megillah. Okay.